invite you to turn to Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. The book of Ecclesiastes chapter number 4. And we'll read a few in your hearing and give you a quick thought tonight, and then we'll get right into our prayer service. If you're in Ecclesiastes chapter 4 and you'd like to stand, I'll invite you to do that at this time. And we'll begin reading in verse number 9, read down through verse number 12, and then we'll pray. Solomon says in verse number 9, he says, two are better than one, because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat. But how can one be warm alone? If one prevail against him, two shall withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. Father, we appreciate the opportunity to be in your house tonight. We appreciate these men and women that have made it out to the house of the Lord. We thank you for them and their dedication to your house. I pray now that you'd help us in these few minutes. Let us encourage this body of Christ, I pray. Then, Lord, help us as we meet together to pray in just a moment. God, meet with us in that time of prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. If you study the book of Ecclesiastes, especially the early part of Ecclesiastes, you know that Solomon does not have encouraging things to say when you begin reading in this book. Solomon begins to view what he calls life under the sun. And as he begins to view life in chapter 1, he comes to this that all of life is nothing but vanity. It is all vanity, says the preacher. He testifies in verse number 1. He believes that life is monotonous, is repetitive, and it is meaningless. But when he gets into chapter 4, Solomon leaves the palace and he gets down into where the common man lives. And he sees the common man in chapter 4 and he realizes life is not monotonous. He still don't have a very rosy disposition of things. He tells us in chapter 4 that he goes to the courtroom in verse number 1 and he begins to see the oppressed. He sees the poor man that is bogged down and treated wrong and a misjustice is taking place in the part of the chapter. And so, weary and depressed, he leaves the courthouse and he goes down to the marketplace. And Solomon begins to view those that are in the marketplace. And he said, I saw an industrious man, a man that is working and laboring. And he sees that industrious man, a hardworking man, but this man is selfish and he has nothing and no one to share his goods with. He's only working for his own sake, what he can gain and how he can have more. And so Solomon kept walking and he saw not only an industrious man, but he saw an idle man. And now if you know much about Solomon, you know that Solomon, well, he didn't care much for lazy people. And so he didn't care much for this idle man. Solomon said it won't be long before destruction comes upon that lazy man. He sees an integrated man. A man that works hard but balances life with rest, and that's a good man. But then last of all, he sees an independent man in verse number 8. And this independent man is a hard-working man, but he has no one to share his wealth with. He is a man that when he dies, he's going to leave everything behind, and he's got nobody to leave it to. And seeing the independent man, Solomon begins to give us some advice in verse number 9. And his advice is this: two are better than one. Now, it is wonderful to work hard, to save for your future, to make the right decisions, but if you're alone, your life is not as fulfilling as it would be if you had somebody to share it with. And his advice is to consider friendship. Now, I've been thinking about the words of Solomon over the past few days in this passage of Scripture, and I know that Solomon is talking about life in general, but in this passage of Scripture, I believe that I can also see a great principle when it comes to prayer. There's something great about group prayer. In fact, if I had a message tonight, if I was to entitle it, I would say this. The title of what I want to talk about tonight is this: the greatness of group prayer. Many times throughout the pages of the Bible, we read about men and women who meet together collectively, like we will do in just a few moments, and pray. I begin to think about Esther. You remember Esther in the book of Esther when she gets the word from Mordecai about wicked Haman and the plan that he has made to destroy the Jews. She is weary and leery, to say the least, in chapter 1. She doesn't really know if she can appear before the king. I don't think it's chapter 1, maybe chapter 3. But she's worried about appearing before the king. But Mordecai persuades her and says, "You've been called for such a time as this." And Esther sends word back to Mordecai, and this is what she says. She says, "For 3 days I want you, Mordecai, and all the Jews to fast with me and pray with me, and we'll just see what God can do." And those Jews met together and they fasted and prayed for many days. And God delivered the entire nation because some people got together and prayed. I thought about Cornelius. My wife sung about him tonight. Cornelius and his household prayed that God would send them a message, a messenger of salvation. And they met together often and prayed. And in Acts 10, God sent a man by the name of Peter from Joppa down to Cornelius' house, and salvation came to his whole house because somebody prayed. Amen. I thought about Lydia. Oh, Lydia in Acts chapter 16, meeting with those women down by that riverbank praying. And it was that group that was meeting down there praying that spontaneously spoke to the Apostle Paul and gave him that Macedonian call saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." It's because somebody prayed. Tonight we're going to meet together and do what these saints of yesterday did. We're going to meet together and collectively call on the name of God. I want to take just a moment and show you three things that God showed me. And I promise it won't take but a minute and we'll be done. I want you to notice these three things about the greatness of group prayer. Group prayer is great, number one, because it promotes unity. It promotes unity. Ecclesiastes 4:9 says, "Two are better than one." Solomon begins by stating that two are better than one. Now, while I understand that we are commanded in Matthew 6:6 to pray secretly, I also believe that we can find in the pages of the Bible a precedent for which we are to pray collectively. Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 18, verse 19 and 20. He said, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." In the words of Christ, we learn the greatness of united group prayer. Group prayer promotes unity. I thought about this. Group prayer promotes unity because group prayer is not selfish. Amen. When we meet together in group prayer, it is not just about my needs and about my prayers, but it is about your needs and your prayers and your needs and your prayers. It is about our needs and our prayers. And therefore, group prayer cannot be selfish prayer. You see, it is unselfish. Group prayer isn't me thinking about me, but it's us thinking about us. So group prayer is great, that unity, because it's not selfish. Group prayer, it promotes unity in that it puts people on good terms. It puts people on good terms. If I am praying for your needs and you are praying for my needs, then that means we've got to be on good terms with each other, doesn't it? When two or more people agree on earth, it's more like heaven than it is earth. And so God hears that and He sees that and He answers those prayers. Amen. See, if I care enough about you to pray for you, then that breaks down walls of division. It breaks down barriers of bitterness. It is unselfish. It puts people on good terms. It simply promotes the church. It brings the church together when we begin to pray for the cares of one another.
Jesus said, if two or three of you would just gather together. And I know we like to talk about church, and you can use that verse that way, but he's talking about in prayer. If two or three of y'all would gather together in my name, in prayer, in my name, I'll be there, you see. Amen. I can hear someone say, well, that must mean that if you've got a large church, you must be more powerful in prayer. Can I say that God does not count heads, God weighs hearts. And two or three, or about 28, are just as powerful if they meet together in prayer as 1,500 can be if they meet together in prayer. What we're going to do tonight is good for this local church because it promotes unity in this church. Not only do I see the promotion of unity, but group prayer is great because problems are understood. Problems are understood. In chapter number 4, Solomon begins to describe to us some problems that are better when people are together. He talks about if one falls, the other lift him up in verse number 10. If you lie together, there'll be warmth. If there's one that prevails against you, two can withstand him in verse 12. You see, I've often said the purpose of church is more than just a place to meet together on Sunday. Church is at its best when you have a group of people that are doing life together. That means that I care about you and you care about me. That means that when you weep, I weep. When you rejoice, I rejoice. That's what church is all about. Amen. That's the way it's supposed to be. That means that we are united together. We are bearing one another's burdens, you see. In our text, Solomon describes for us several problems that are solved when we're united. He said two are better for work. When we meet together and work together, you get more done if there's more than one of you. Isn't that right? When you meet together to work, if there's more than one, you can encourage one another. Amen. You can better tackle difficult situations in work if there's more than one of you. And the same is true in prayer. We can see greater things accomplished. We can hold each other up. We can see each other through difficult times and achieve great things if we'll unite together in prayer. Yes. Two are better for walking. Palestinian roads weren't paved and they weren't level. Most of the time, Palestinian roads were dangerous. It was not uncommon for there to be a pit you could fall in or a rock you could stumble on. And imagine with me, friend, if you was walking by yourself and you fell in that pit, wouldn't you rather have a neighbor with you? Help get you out of that pit or go call for help. If you stumbled over a rock that was hidden and you broke your leg, you'd much rather do that with a friend there, would you not? They could pick you up and get you to somebody that could help you. The same is true of prayer. Life is full of pits and it's full of obstacles. But when we are united together in prayer, it'll help us out of that pit of life. It'll help us when we have those broken spirits and those broken dreams and those broken plans. We can help each other if we're praying for one another. Yes. Two are better for warmth. On a cold Palestinian night, the only way to stay warm if you're by yourself is to bring a blanket. To bring a blanket means you had to increase your load. But if there's two of us, we can share body heat. We can both stay warm and lighten each other's loads. We don't have to carry a blanket. You see, prayer is you going to God and me going to God and me bearing your burdens and you bearing my burdens and us uniting together to make each other's load a little bit lighter. Two are better for watch care if the enemy's less likely to overtake any one of us if we're united in prayer. Alone, I am weaker than I am if you stand with me in prayer. In fact, I thought about how great this principle of sharing problems was. And I thought in Luke chapter 22, we are recorded where the Lord Jesus Christ, the man from heaven, the Son of God, the very God incarnate in the flesh, the God that prayed and said, Father, I know thou hearest me always, that Jesus, goes into the Garden of Gethsemane, bearing the heaviest weight that he's ever borne, carrying a problem like no man has ever carried. The weight of Calvary is on him. And when he goes in there to pray, you know what he does? he gets three people and he says, boys, if y'all would just come and pray with me. You see, he realized the benefit that prayer, group prayer is when somebody's carrying a problem. We should be to the place in our church, and this is not in my notes, the Holy Ghost just inspired this in my heart. We should be to the place in this church to where we should be able to share things with each other without the fear that somebody else will talk about us or run us down. Amen. Or spread Amen. Gossip about us. We should be able to share those things with each other, knowing that we've got each other's best interest at heart and we'll bear those burdens Amen. Together. That's the way it should be. I see that it promotes unity. I see that problems are understood. And last of all, I see that power is unleashed. He said in the last part of verse 12, a threefold cord is not easily broken. He's talking about power now. You see, Solomon finishes by telling us that two are strong, but three are stronger. Amen. I believe in secret prayer. We all pray in secret. I believe in partner prayer. You find a partner to pray with. I believe in that. But group prayer. Group prayer is great.
Amen.
You remember in Acts chapter number 12, Peter is in prison. There's a church gathered together, and what are they doing? They're praying. And God heard that prayer of that church, sent an angel to a jailhouse without waking up any prisoners, took the chains off Peter, told him to get his clothes on, got him out of the jailhouse, opened the gates. Nobody ever woke up. Nobody ever saw it. Nobody ever heard it. Peter wasn't even sure it happened. When it happened, when they come to the door, they thought it was his goat. They weren't sure it happened. They didn't even realize how powerful group prayer was, but it was so powerful, God delivered Peter from prison.
Amen.
See, it unleashes power. Where two or three are gathered together in my name. It's not my power and it's not your power. Not because we're great prayer warriors. But where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I. There's the power. There am I in the midst of thee. Brother Scott, can you get us one more song? Can you do that? Here's what I want to do. Brother Scott's going to give us one more song. If you've got anything.